Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to say good evening to each and every one, every caller, and everyone that may be listening. I do want to give an honor to God, my Savior, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, for his mercy and grace that he has given me a new day to be a part of this day, to be able to say, I thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness and mercy and grace that he has looked upon me to let me see this day and to be a part of this ministry program, something I'm not worthy of, but to God be the glory, he has given me opportunity and a job to share the good news the best to my knowledge that I can. I thank him for, you know, the whole program, Blog Talk Radio Drums, Crown Drums Talking. Talking Drums Radio. I want to make sure I get this right. But as well as call-in station, the online station that can be listened to all around. I just honor the Lord tonight because of his goodness, how he's been blessing within my family, my companion, strengthening her day by day, all of the prayers that it went up for her through the times that she was feeling bad. And I just thank God for all of my surroundings, my loved ones. You know, it's been a long week, long day. I come close to not getting back in time for the program because we went to a birthday party for my great-granddaughter, and it was just 10 minutes ago that I arrived home to be able to get to do this program tonight. But God knew best. He knew exactly when and what, and we're going to continue to just open up a prayer list for the sick and the needy tonight, the bereaved family, the COVID patients that's still going through, all of the people over there with Russia and the other places that's going on, that's, you know, the killings for no reason, trying to take control of somebody's land or community. We want to continue to pray for them, Ukrainian, all of our world leaders, that God would intervene and change some of them's heart and mind to understand that he is the leader of everything that we do if we put him first in our lives and in everything that we do, be led by the Holy Spirit to do it in the right way. We do want to pray for our families, all of our children, grandchildren and great-grands, nieces, nephews. We want to include everyone because everyone's in the need of prayer. There is people going through things in this world that they may not even talk to someone about, that they may be holding in. And they need prayer for those situations in life. And we just have to continue to put them in God's hands and pray for them because he knows what's going on with each and every one of us. He made us. He knows all about us. And we don't have to know everything sometimes to request a prayer for someone, a loved one that's in need. So we're going to continue to pray for all of our ministry leaders, our churches, and our church bodies, hoping that the word of God comes straight forth, true, the way that it's supposed to be, and pray for each and every one of our households, our relationships, that is so very, very important in a relationship to come together, talk things over, be willing to come to a compromise and love each other the way that we should, pray for each other the way that we should. At this time, we're going to go into prayer before we get started. Our precious and holy Father God, it's in the name of Jesus that we come before you right now, thanking you, Lord, and giving you honor for your mercy and grace that you have shared with us on our lives. Thanking you for waking us up early this morning in our right minds to be able to do for ourselves. Some people woke up this morning but couldn't do for themselves. Some people didn't wake up at all, Lord. But you shared another loving day of your mercy on us to be able to come through this day, to enjoy another day of the life that you've given us. We honor you tonight, Lord, asking you to bless each and every one of our loved ones and our families. Every prayer request that's already been made, dear God, we ask that you bless them, Lord, in a special way. We thank you for all the things that you've already done. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you're doing. And we thank you in advance, Lord, for what you're going to do. We look to you for everything we do, Lord. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to lead and guide my words tonight. Lead me in what you would have me say. Help me to decrease that you may increase. In the name of Jesus, as we go through with this ministry program, every heart that may be listening tonight, dear God, we ask that you bless them and touch them in a special way. Every heart that may call in, dear God, we ask that you bless them in a special way too. We just want to put out a word of encouragement, dear God, to someone the best that we know how. It's not about us, Lord, but it's all about you, sharing you to the world, dear God, that people may know that you are the Lord and Savior of this world. And we honor you. We ask you, dear God, right now to bless this night and continue to bless each and every one as we go forth. We ask all of these blessings in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen and amen. We do give an honor to God once again as we go forth, and because he is the leader of my life, my family, my loved ones, and I honor him for all that he's done. And we're going to come to you with a verse tonight. I'm going to read one verse and kind of just, you know, talk on whatever the Lord leads me to talk on. This is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, King James Version. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So the greatest of these three, it says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Okay. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about it a little bit. I have, right here it says, I've read the verse. It says, gives a commentary for it. It says, the grace of faith and love toward God and our fellow human are preferable to all the spiritual gifts. And the greatest of these is love. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul explains to the church in Corinth that there was something better than the spiritual gifts they had received. The spiritual gifts were wisdom, knowledge, faith, and then it says the gift of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, and discerning of spirit, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues was, it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10. The people of Corinthian church had an abundance of these spiritual gifts. But which of the gifts were superior to other gifts became a source of that diverseness among them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 30 to 31, you know, reads. We're not going to read all of it, but it says, Paul tells the Corinthians that three principal grace, faith, hope, and love are superior to all the spiritual gifts. Some commentaries believe that Paul only named three spiritual gifts, prophecy, tongues, and knowledge, because these three gifts emphasizes the revelation of God. Okay. We have faith. And it says, faith is the belief in the divinity of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the living of one soul in him. It says faith is the belief in the divinity of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the living of one soul in him. You know, we look at this and it says Paul has just finished telling the Corinthians in a preceding verse that the spiritual gifts of prophecy would fail, tongues would cease, and knowledge would vanish. The Bible does not tell us when these gifts will end. There are two major views on the timing of secessions of these gifts. One is that it is when the Lord returns. The other is when all the books were added to the Bible and no more could ever be added. Some refers to this as the closing of the canon, or the completion of a canon. It is commonly believed that all churches in the West accepted the New Testament canon as closed after the Damascus Clinic of Rome in AD 332 and the Third Council of Carthage in AD 397. Churches in Greece then accepted it by the year 500. So, you know, we talk about all of this to say we are in a situation where it says we have faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of the three is charity, which is love. Love in this context is a choice to be truly devoted to God and other humans and show kindness toward other Christians that grow out of that love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It says, it is not proud. So we find out when we talk about love, it says, the greatest of these is love. The grace of faith and hope are only for oneself. Whereas love produces the service of others. So we have faith, we have grace, faith, and hope. You know, this is what we have, God's grace. We have to believe. We have to have faith that whatever the situation may be, that God's going to answer that prayer. I have faith that God's going to answer my prayer. I have hope that one day I will be going to live with Jesus. But the love have to carry on forever and ever on, because God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So if God loved us that much, that means love means a whole lot. That's why it says love is the greatest among all, because God had that type of love, the love that nobody else could offer us. He has a love that you know, sometimes we go to look at the situation. Before I became a Christian, I'd say, I love you. But I never knew real love until I repented and asked Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior and accepted him as he chose me for that walk with him. I found out what real love was, the love of God. You know, when I started to learn about God's love, it was completely different than me just saying, I love you, because you had true love deep down inside that only God could give and no one else. It's just like you could be mad or hate someone before you become a Christian. But once God changes your life and you accept him into your life, he can change that hate that you have for someone into loving that person all over. And we have to continue to follow that role as we go on, thanking God for each moment that he changes us. We have to continue to pray for that love. We have to continue to believe and have faith in that love, that we can have the same kind of love if we're willing to trust the Lord in the way we should. And, you know, as we read the Word of God, the Bible teaches us about this love, how this love came about, how we have to accept this same love in our hearts in order to be able to live this Christian life. It's not easy sometimes to love someone. It's not easy at all. People can push you to the point that you want to just turn them away and say things that you know you shouldn't say. That's why we have to say, Lord, help me. Forgive me, Lord, for my negative thoughts, Lord, and help me to be more positive thinking on these situations. And help, and ask him to help you to get away from those thoughts of heart, because people can push you to the point that you will get to a situation to where you can't even feel the Lord moving in your life, because all you're thinking about is the bad that person did to you. We have to continue to pray for them, continue to pray for ourselves, Ask the Lord to help us that we may be able to go through this battle that we're having. The enemy, he's working in the midst of it because he wants to see you fail. His job is to work on you until you do fail. And we just can't give in. We can't give in because the enemy's looking for us to fail. You know, he want to see us fail. Other people want to see us fail. They don't want to see you live right. They don't want to see you do us right. You know, the first thing they look at is they feel that you are, because you're not that same type of person you was when you was out into the world doing the things that you did. They feel like you are acting as better as they are. And it's not that. Christ has changed your life to be a new creature in Christ. And you're just living a different type of life. You're not acting better than anyone else. You're trying to tell someone something that, you know, you haven't learned in the Word of God to be able to tell them. You know, we do things to help someone else when we become a Christian. We have to be honest to people. We can't sugarcoat anything and tell someone. If someone asks you something, let them know the truth. That's the only way they'll ever be able to know, is you have to be honest. You can't go around it. You can't talk around it and try to make it sound good to them. You know, we have to be honest with them and be truthful with them to let them know that God's word is real. People may tell you things that you feel that's all right, but you find out for yourself. You have to pray things out of your life. Lord, forgive me, Lord. Help me to stop this, Lord. Help me to get away from this, dear God. I want to be real, Lord, in serving you. And you read your Bible more and more, and that's the way you begin to learn the things of life and the things that you should and shouldn't do, the things that are real and not real. And if you don't know, you find you not someone out into the world to talk about these situations. You find you a real good spiritual leader that you trust enough to tell you the truth. I always tell people, if you don't want the truth from me, don't ask me. Because that's all I can do is tell you the truth. Even if it may hurt you, I'd rather for you to be hurt and know the truth than not to be hurt and find out and something hurt you later on and you wonder, well, why come I didn't tell you that and I knew? Well, it's best to go ahead and tell you and let you know and to be real about it. Because Jesus didn't say that he loved us for no reason. He loved us for a reason. He would have never give up his only begotten son that we may receive salvation and be turned back to him because of what his son did, because we was at God's back because of sin in this world. And he couldn't face sin. And Jesus, when he came to do what he did, everything that he took and went through for us, the beatings, the spat upon, just continuing to tear him down, embarrass him, didn't care what they did to him. Man never did a thing to anyone, but they wanted a thief and robber to be released instead of our Lord and Savior Christ that never did anything to hurt anyone. And he took it all that we may learn. He knows what it feels like to suffer pain. He knows what it feels like to go through things in life. He was God in the flesh, human, fully. So what we have to realize, in the order for us to follow Jesus, we have to continue to read and study that word we have to continue to trust the Lord in all things. It says, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest is love. So what do we do then? Do we fall away from that love and forget about it? Or do we hold on to that love and trust the Lord at his every word? We continue to trust him at all things. He's made all things. And he knows all things. And everything that he did for us, that we may learn from it, that we may be in a different situation and thought of the way that life should go after what Christ had done, after all the things that he has took us through, seen us through, blessed us through. Nothing good that we've done, nothing good that we could do. He done it all. We don't even deserve to be here. The only reason we're here is by his grace and mercy that he give us this opportunity to be here, because if he hadn't have came and did what he did, there's no way we can make it. I just wonder. I used to go through things and I'd wonder about things. And there was a guy that I worked with when I worked in the furniture factory. And my mama always taught us as we grew up not to hate no one. But this fella, one fella, got on my nerves so bad. And I was out in the world then. I wasn't, you know, a Christian or anything. And I come to the point every time he come around me, I wanted to jump on him. I come to the point I actually hated this guy. And, you know, I never had that thought for anyone because my mom had always taught us we're not supposed to hate anyone. But this guy just pushed buttons in me that would just upset me and everything. And I was going through some things and had to have surgery and things like that. And I went through and I left out. When I left out, I had to have surgery not long after that on my knee, a total knee replacement. And as I went through this process, you know, God was dealing with me in a way like he was, you know, trying to get my attention. And I was trying to, you know, ignore it, run away, because I wanted to live my life the way I did and do the things I was doing. I continued to do it until the point I had to have surgery. Well, I went and had my surgery and everything, and I couldn't return back to work right off. But I was out for about 3 months when I had my first surgery on my knees. And I went ahead. Well, this was the second surgery. Let me get it right. Before I went out on leave. And it took me, I believe, close to like 6 months before I was able to return to work. And I was going through some things. I went back, come back 4 years later, I had a total knee replacement. And I went through some complications with it. Well, this guy, as I left, I really hated him bad then. And it lets me know that God is real, because he can change anything in your life to turn it around. Because when I went through my little sickness and everything, and God touched my body and went through it, and he blessed me to go through. The day that I walked back in that plant, God had changed my life. I was a new creature in Christ. I'd been accepted Christ into my life. And there was just so much of a difference and a change. I walked in, and the first person I run into was this guy. And all the people in the plant know how I felt about him. So they sat there and they looked at me and they waited for something to pop off. But, you know, nothing never happened because I had love in my heart. The Lord had changed my heart for the good. And we was talking and laughing and going on, and people was looking. They didn't know, you know, they didn't realize what was going on. And I remember this one guy that I worked with on the machines that we worked on. He was a Christian man when I left and for a while before. And I was back there working. And me and him got to talking later on today, and I told him, I said, man, I said, I got saved. And he told me, he said, you know what? He said, you really didn't have to tell me that. He said, I knew it when you walked through the back of that door this morning when you came in. He said, it was a glow about you when you walked through that door that I could see. Something was changed. And, you know, I never thought nothing about it, never thought, you know, somebody was looking at me in that kind of way to see a change. And he was telling me that. We got to talking and everything, and we'd already become pretty good friends, but we became better friends because we shared a whole lot about the Lord and talked to people within the plan about the Lord. So that's what let me know. When we talk about that love of Jesus, if it hadn't have been for that love of Jesus that changed my heart and brought that hate out of my heart and thought mine, I would have been lost because I'd have never given in and changed my heart through living for Christ. If he hadn't have changed my heart for the better when he saved my soul, I would have still been that same person out into the world. But he changed my heart with love in it for that young man. And when me and him got to talking later on, I let him know. I said, I didn't have to be the way that I was. Because I didn't have to. I didn't know that the Lord could put a change in you like he did. But he did. He changed me to the point I was a complete different person, and people looked at me, and I know people were looking at me. But one thing I found out that you can't do, when you hang with people that you hung with and did the things that you did, said the things you said, once the Lord changes your life, you can't go back with that same crowd. Because if you go back with them, you fall back into the same mess you was in. And I hadn't been saved long. Went back there, and the boys was back at the bathroom talking their mess and everything. And I was going on and talking and everything, and the curse word came out. And they looked at me right funny, you know. And if I could have looked at me, I would have looked at me funny because something, I felt a change of embarrassment. Because I was supposed to be something. And here I was hanging with the crowd, the mess that I come away from and fell back in. From that day on, I asked the Lord to forgive me. From that day on, when I went out, I bought my Bible into the plant. Instead of hanging around at break time with these guys and stuff like that, I spent my time reading God's Word. And I tell you the truth, it made the biggest difference in my life. And then I had people asking me that were working night shift, come on day shift, if I mind leading the lunch prayer at lunchtime. And I was like, no. But this is a good while after all of this other stuff happened. It took time. And I was leading prayer. We had two or three people, got up to four or five, then got up to seven or eight, then got up to 10 or 11, 12 people, started to come in and join in the noonday prayer. And I thank the Lord for what he was doing in my life, because there was a change beginning to happen, because I got away from that same crowd that I was with and started spending more time in God's word, learning and trying my best to do the best I could as I was led by the Holy Spirit. That's why when we get saved, there's more work to be done. We got to be sanctified. And that means we got to, everything that we know that's wrong, we got to get out of our life the best that we know how. And like it says, the very God of peace will come in and sanctify you wholly. And then it says, you are a candidate for the gift of the Holy Spirit, something that I'm still seeking for. I have trials and tests that come my way. I'm not perfect in no means and don't claim to be. But I live this life as important to me the best that I know how. And it is very important to me to live it, because I'm seeking for something that God has for me. And what he has for me is for me. I have to do what's right and continue to stay in the right place for that situation. Everyone has to do this for self. No one else can do it for you. We can pray for you. We can talk words of encouragement to you. But each person has to live this life for themselves, with love deep down on the inside. I did in-home care work for about 3 years. I worked with a lady that was taking care of her kin 24/7, and I was there 4 hours a day to give her a break to do what she needed to do. And she told me, she said, this person that did something to her, excuse me, you know, she was supposed to have been a Christian, and she said, I can't forgive her. She said, I know I'm not supposed to be like that. She said, but I can't forgive her. I told her, I said, well, I said, you know, we have to forgive in order to make it in. I said, if we don't forgive, we can't make it in. I said, Christ forgave us, and we have to be willing to forgive somebody else. And she said, well, said, I know. Said, it's hard to do. And I would talk to her about the Lord when I'd go in doing the stuff I'd do within the home. And she'd tell me, she said, some of the stuff you telling me, said, my preacher ain't never said to us. So it lets me know, too. Another thing, you have to get under a true man of God that's preaching the word of God the way the Bible says, not to add or take away. As long as they're giving you the truth and you're learning and you're growing in God's grace, you stay with it. And anybody that's surrounding you, the saints, and you need help, you go to them, because that's what they're there for. I'm not saying I'm the smartest person in the world, but I tell you, I could tell a person enough to receive salvation the way that the Bible lets us know, the way that we have to do. And if I could get one soul saved, that's all that matters, because I have to live it in order to make it myself. And I have to share it to someone and not hold it for myself. Because we're praying for one another. We're not praying for just self. Self gets in the way. Flesh gets in the way. Flesh rises up. And we have to realize at this point in time, we have to pray and ask the Lord to move flesh out of the way. Let spirit take over. Trust in him. Keep that love. The Bible said out of all of these, faith, hope, and charity, love is the one of the three we have to look to. So we have to love everybody in order to travel on this journey. If you don't love and if you don't forgive and you're not living the life that the Lord has put before you, you might as well go on and let it go because you won't make it in. There's things that we got in our life that we have to ask the Lord to help us with. Lord, I need your help. Help me to give this up. Help me to forgive, to give that up. Things that we're doing that we know that's not right, we have to ask the Lord to help us give it up, Lord. Help us to get away from it. And I guarantee you, if you're sincere from the heart, he will. He will help you. He will see you through. And you just trust him and have faith that it's going to happen and trust in Jesus. Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm opening up the mics. Praise God. God bless you. Thank God for you. Truly is an honor and a blessing to have you.
Amen.
If anyone have anything that they want to add or could add to anything we're just talking about, you know, the faith, hope, and charity, talking about what
Amen.
The greatest of all is, and we know that we have to have that love for the one another, and we have to trust in the Lord to help us to have this love, because he didn't give his one and only son because of nothing. He said that he loved us so much that he gave his one and only son that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. So if God loved us so much, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with our love? We live in a worldly love or we live in a spiritual love? Because there's a difference. You know,
that's
spiritual
why
love.
We have to, if we don't have love, all else is in vain.
That's right.
Of love, we have to have love. Love motivates us to do everything else right.
Amen.
So if we don't have love, all else we do is in vain.
Sure
we
enough.
Must have love because he loved
love
us so that he gave his only begotten son.
Yes, he did.
And in order for us to get to heaven, in order for us to live eternally, we have
uh-huh.
to love.
Yes, we do.
And if we want to go back with Jesus when he comes, we have to have that love.
Yes, we do.
And when we ask God to come into our heart, we have to love him. Because he
Amen.
Said, how can you love me who you never seen?
Mm-hmm.
And hate your brother who you see every day. We
so
can't
true.
Love God and hate our brother who we see every day.
No, we
so
can't.
So we have to love our brother and our sister and treat them with love in our heart. And we cannot hold hate in our heart against one another.
No, we
and
can't.
Say I love you.
No,
and
we
have this help us. That's how we know that we love the Lord. When
Amen.
We can forgive one another.
That's right.
That's how we know we love the Lord. When we have forgiveness in our heart. Because in the natural, you can't love when people treat you bad.
No, you can't.
When they hurt you.
You build up hate. That's right.
Holding grudges. So when somebody hurts your child and do evil to you and you know they hate you. The
mm-hmm.
flesh don't want to be hurt, but when you can forgive and love anyway, that's how you know you got love in your heart.
Amen.
So that's why we need Jesus on the inside.
Have
so
to
we
have.
Can love. You have to have him on the inside.
In order to make it.
In order to make it. So therefore, I have hope that I'm going to see Jesus for myself one day because I have love on the inside. I have hope today because I have that love for my brother or my sister.
That's right.
I have hope today. Praise God. So we got something to look forward to.
Yes, we do.
We
something
to look forward
to.
And we pray, we believe God hears us.
Amen.
Through Jesus. When we pray, we believe that he hears our prayer. Why?
That's right.
Because we're living for him and doing the things that is right. We supposed to be doers of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know that you are a doer of God's word, when you pray, you believe he hears your prayer.
Amen.
And he's going to answer your prayer.
So true.
So we
true.
Hope in Christ Jesus because we know we're living according to his word. But if you're not living nothing, you ain't got faith to believe he's hearing your prayer.
No, you don't.
Praise the Lord. Well, I thank God knowing that I'm living according to his word, I've got hope knowing that he hears my prayer and that I can get a prayer. Praise God.
And that's what
I hope that brothers and sisters that I've got, I can trust in them when I ask a prayer, believe that they can pray for me. Praise God. So we got something to be thankful for.
So true. Praise the Lord, Bishop. And I believe we have the Bishop on. I just wanted to see if he had something he might want to add or give his input. Because, like you said, that hate we got to get rid of because I did have a hate for the fella in the shop one day. And if the Lord hadn't come into my life, give me an opportunity, and I would have died in that sin with hate in my heart, I'd have been lost. But he gave me an opportunity to change and chose me for an opportunity to show that love that he had for me when I accepted him. And without it, I wouldn't have had no hope at all.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I would have had is eternal damnation because I would have been lost. But
that's right.
He gave me a chance to choose. And I'm thankful that I chose the right way because if I hadn't and been lost in my sin, I'd have been in a bad situation.
Right.
But that
right.
hate turned into love. Me and that guy got along. We talked and everything, and people looked at me funny, looked at him funny because all of that mess that we was going through before that 6 months of surgery I had and come back in the plant and the way that the Lord had dealt and worked in my life and changed me.
Things have changed.
You know, it made me think on the things that my mama used to say, don't hate nobody. Say, because God loves me, and you have to love too. And I didn't know how much until I went through. And he got me down to my deathbed to where I couldn't do nothing but think about some things in life. And that thought of dying never left me. Because I think as I was going through that situation, thinking that if I die, I'm going to die in my sin. And I'm going to be lost. That's all I knew growing up. I mean, I went to church. I listened to some of the word, didn't take it in. But I knew about heaven and hell because they would preach to us young about hell. And it would scare you sometimes, some of the things that they'd preach and say, and then they got away from it. It was all about the good things of hell. You didn't hear about the bad part of going to hell or things that was happening and things. It seemed like they got away from a whole lot of that. But some of the old preachers, they preached it, and they let you know. They didn't sugarcoat it. They told you the truth. If you don't do this and you mess up, they told you where you was going. So I was so thankful when he changed me and took that hatred out of my heart and gave me love. And like I said, I never knew what true love was living out into the world with just a word of saying, I love you. But once you got upset about it, that love was gone. It was hatred or getting mad about something. But when Christ comes into your life and takes that you heard about some things in your life because it don't go right, but you can pray for that situation. You can pray for that person. Even though you hurt, you don't hate that person no more. You have a certain type of love that Jesus has given you, and you have to. You say, well, I don't want to deal with them, but I love them anyway. I'm going to let it go, put it in God's hands, and pray for them. But you still don't have no hate built up for them. You have a love to move on and trust in Jesus to work that thing out. It's completely different than that world situation because God knows each and every heart. He knows what we need, when we need it, how we need it. And we have to trust him and our hope in Jesus.
Yes, God.
Because that's where our hope goes in Jesus, comes from him.
That's right. And hate will eat at you, too.
Yes, it will.
And the thing about what the sinner man don't know, once the breath leaves your body and you got that in your heart and you die, you go to hell.
That's right. It's over.
It just, really, you just a breath away from heaven or paradise. And it ain't no change. It's both. You're not going to miss them both. And so
no, you're not.
You just a way. That's just how close you are.
That's right.
And you, wherever you leave, you live, it determines where you go.
That's right. That's right.
It's a serious situation. And it's bad to, just like the condition the world's in today, some people, families don't love one another.
Cussing one another
and anger one another and can't get along. And that's a bad thing to be in. Families living like that. Can't get along with one another. Don't have love for one another and their family. That's a bad situation.
And see, that's been the problem for a long time.
You know. But that's just
a
bad situation. Yes, it has.
Not getting along. Families fighting over this when their parents pass.
Yeah.
Fighting over who should get this, who should get that. And they don't have a bit of involvement in none of it because they didn't do anything to take care of it, do anything for it. But as soon as something happens, they're looking to see what they can get out. If I can't get this or that, well, I'm going to get mad at my brother, and I'm just going to go ahead and we'll have it out. And we'll do this and we'll do that. I mean, some family members even kill each other over something that's not even theirs that they didn't work a day in their life for. And it's sad to go through a situation like that when you should come together and show more love because
show love
of the things the family's facing, the things that the family's going through, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of them turning away from each other. There's no love there.
No love. But I thank God that love is in my heart.
Amen.
And it has to be love that has compassion for others, not just your own family, but other people.
So true.
Have that compassion for others as well as your own. Because Jesus had compassion for people.
Yes, he did.
Supposed to have compassion for others.
Yeah, so true.
But we should have, you know, that goes along with Christianity, that you have love one for one another.
That's right.
What we should have, you know.
And families fail in many areas of that state of mind to where
that's right.
The Bible lets us know We have to love. We have to pray for one another. We have to
bless
and cherish one another. The Bible gives us a lot of things to let us know when it comes to one another, our families. It don't matter if it's not your blood family. You still have families within, no matter whether it be blood family or not. And you're supposed to treat them and love them as you love self. You know,
that's
we have to continue to honor the Lord to do his will. We have to ask him to help us do your will, Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done in my life and through it. And if we don't do that, we're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not no use in sugarcoating nothing or telling someone, you know, something that's not right. We have to be honest about it and let them know.
Yes, we do.
And, you know, the Holy Spirit will convict you. If you're doing something and you feel like, well, I'm doing it, but I feel kind of funny. So if you're feeling funny in any kind of way because of something you're doing and you're not sure of, it's not right. You're being convicted for a reason.
You're convicted.
You have to feel it for a reason. You know, because if you go ahead and it's not convicting you in any kind of way, then you feel like, well, I'm all right. But if something's tugging at you, letting you know this is not right, and you do it anyway, well, you're still not going to make it because you continue to do the same old thing you know that's not right. And you're overriding, grieving the Holy Spirit, and you're just going on to do your way, not the Lord's way. You know, it's your will now. You're cutting God's will out of it. So you got to move safe out of the way. And it's got to be God's way or no way at all.
But his way.
I mean, I used to think everything I did was my way. I didn't know. I used to say I get saved when I want to. I'm not ready now. And the older generation say, well, if you're not ready now, you'll never be ready. Because when the Spirit's tugging, God's letting you know, that's the time he's letting you know. It's time to come on in. And sometimes he might just take you. Sometimes he might do like he did me, get me down on my deathbed, make me think a little bit more, knowing the situation, and give me another opportunity.
That's right.
My life for a situation as now to do what he has me doing now, to know and believe and trust and have that love, hope, and faith in him, knowing that with him I can make it. When then, when I was in the world, I never thought of a situation of making it. But I thank God that he seen what I didn't see. And he blessed me with what I didn't have, what I needed. So I'm grateful and thankful because if it hadn't have been for him in my life,
I
wouldn't be here.
Grace and mercy,
so
I thank God.
For more time, the way I look at it. And I always tell people that. They look at me funny, but I feel that I'm living off of borrowed time. My time was dead and gone. I didn't believe it one time. I truly believe that. I don't, you know, you don't want to say things like that. But when you know that God is speaking to you and he gives you a choice that you can go out into the world after he heals you or you can live for him, then he's letting you know your life could have been cut off at this moment in time. But you make a decision and you make the right decision to live for him, he still can cut you off. But he didn't cut me off. He kept me for a reason. And now I'm doing something that I love to do, talk about the Lord, sharing the Lord and everything. And, you know, he had something for me that I'd never seen coming. But to God be the glory. I love it. I love the Lord. I trust him. I believe the word of God, the whole Bible. Yeah. You know, so we have to be true in what we do.
Yes,
that don't mean
we're
going to be perfect in everything, you know. But we got to go through just like the next man. But we have to know that Christ is with us in every step that we take. And
that's
we trust him and have enough faith in him. He will lead and guide us, the Holy Spirit, in the way that we should walk and talk.
That's right. That's right.
And present ourselves before people.
Yes, so, yes.
I guess my time's about up. I was beginning to just, it gets good, you know, when you know that God's been good to you. He just continues to bless you in ways and everything to whereas you're thankful. You just can't help but be thankful.
He's so good, so good. So good.
We're going to go ahead, even though my time's over, everyone online, you know, still yet. We'll have our closing prayer, and then we'll
praise God.
Have our shalom ending, and everyone shalom. Will be blessed, hopefully, by the Lord, our Savior,
praise
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My precious Heavenly Father, it's once again, dear God, we come before you thanking you for your mercy and grace, Lord, thanking you for blessing this night, dear God, the program. We thank you, Lord,
because you
are leading our lives in the way that we should go. We ask you, dear God, to let your will be done in our lives. And let us move self out of the way, Lord. Let us decrease, Lord, that you may increase in our lives. And Holy Spirit, lead and guide us and give us the words to say, the love for one another that we should have. Help us to live a life worthy, Lord, of your calling.
Yes.
And, Lord, we ask that you continue to bless each and every one through tonight, dear God. If any pain is in their body, Lord, we ask that you touch them in a special way, Lord. If they're going through anything, Lord, we ask that you touch their heart, soul, body, and mind. And just continue to help us, Lord, to look to you because you are the source of all things. You are the need that we see us through. And we thank you for everything that you mean in our life, Lord. We thank you for what you've already done. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing.
Thank
and we
you,
give
Jesus.
You honor and praise for what you're going to do in advance, dear God. We ask that you bless each and every listener tonight, dear God, in a special way. And just hoping, Lord, that something may come about, that someone may have heard, that may help them in their everyday Christian living. If you're not a Christian, Lord, we ask you to help the ones that's not a Christian that may have been listening in, Lord, that they would change their lives and repent and ask you to come into their life, dear God.
Yes,
we
yes.
just thank you, Lord, and love you for everything that's already been said and done. We give you honor, praise, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Yes,
Amen. Praise the Lord. I do thank everyone that's called in, and I hope everyone has a blessed night. Shalom.
Lord.
Be blessed.
Shalom. Amen.
Yes.